Alan, I'd like to ask you about chapter 1 and verses 2 and 3. I will sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will sweep away both men and animals. I will sweep away the birds of the air, the fish of the sea. The wicked will have only heaps of rubble when I cut off man from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. Is the destruction that he's talking of here the destruction of Judah from the Babylonian invasion, or is it a reference to the end of time?
Most of the writers I read, I have to say that probably both, primarily the end of time, is the real total cleansing of everything. But obviously, contextually, there's got to be some destruction of Judah being discussed by the Babylonians here. Several writers that made references between this and Noah and the flood, showing that even that day, the fish and all were destroyed too, and everything here, talking about the fish of the sea being destroyed and the birds and everything, and they tried to draw a little bit of a parallel there to the local temporary time, but also a permanent, but primarily a permanent.
Is that the same thing that you would say on verse 18 in chapter 1 as well? In the last half of the verse, in the fire of his jealousy, the whole world will be consumed, for he will make a sudden end of all of them on the earth.
Pretty much.
In chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, at that time I will deal with all who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame and gather those who have been scattered. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they were put to shame. At that time I will gather you, at that time I will bring you home, I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord. Is he talking there of the restoration from Babylonian captivity, or is this a passage that finds its fulfillment in the Messianic kingdom?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure that I can really say. It would be a shot in the dark for me to really say. I did not do it verse by verse on any of these chapters. I started doing, that's what my presentation started out to be, and then I reversed and went to the overview of it. So it'd be a pretty shot. Do you have any particular point of view on that? Or Jimmy might even have something on that. Do you have anything particular on that? But I really don't. I would have to take it for sure. I would have to take a shot in the dark on it.
Okay. Jimmy Cutter.
Doug and I do that on purpose. We try to work these guys out. I do think there's some parallels between Job and Psalm 73 with the book of Habakkuk. And as far as I'll comment on that first part of Doug, I didn't hear the last question, but I'm not sure that refers to the end of the world myself. I just think it's poetic.
Several of the writers who did, teaching.
Yeah. But anyway, Habakkuk is a very unique book because it is words with God about the people instead of words from God to the people. And that makes it kind of unique. If I didn't misunderstand Mike, it seemed like he thought the latter part of chapter 2 Habakkuk was speaking. It appears to me that God is speaking from verse 2 throughout the book.
Yes, that was my mistake.
Okay.
In reading through that.
All right. And as far as the date on Habakkuk, it looks to me like it has to be after 609 Josiah's reforms. He died in 609 and before the first deportation, which would have been 606, 605. But I want to just comment on this Habakkuk 2, verse 4. It's quoted three times in the New Testament, Hebrews, Galatians, and Romans. It's the theme of the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 17. And Habakkuk, God is telling Habakkuk in this book that the righteous will live through the Chaldean onslaught and the destruction of Jerusalem by the Chaldeans because of their faith. But Paul uses it to say sinners will become righteous because of their faith. And so God says the righteous will live because, when the Chaldeans come because of their faith. And Paul uses it, Romans 1, to indicate that the sinners will be made righteous because of their faith. He puts the emphasis on the just. Galatians puts the emphasis on will live, and then the Hebrew writer puts it on faith. And so they use that passage in different ways.
Okay, Terry Bayes.
In response to Doug's question, the word for earth is also the word for ground or land. Some translations render that land, and it's probably a local fulfillment. And the same kind of language about destroying the man, the beast, the trees, and everything is, I think, in Jeremiah 7:20 and Ezekiel 33, some verses in there. So that kind of language is used, like Jimmy kind of mentioned, poetically. And the word might be better translated land. And sometimes in the prophets, the area of Jerusalem and Palestine is referred to as the world. And the world consists of whoever their neighbors are, whoever their enemies are, that's the world. And so, in spite of the language, I think it's probably